there's a story of a homeless man who walked into this really fancy building in New York City. And he walks straight to the elevator, walks past the secretary who was frantically waving her hands and saying, "You can't go up there." Goes straight into the elevator, goes straight to the penthouse, the top floor. Goes out of the elevator, marches right past the secretary who once again was saying, "Excuse me, you can't go in there." Marches straight into the CEO's office. Sits on the chair, puts his feet up on the CEO's desk. The CEO turns around and faces him and says, "Son, I told you, you can't come in here anymore. You're a disgrace. You're a bum. You're not doing anything with your life. You had a free ticket to Harvard and you're throwing everything away. You're living in the now. You're not doing anything. You're throwing away your life." And the son looks at his father and says, "Oh, you're one to speak. What are you? Who are you? Yeah, you're so successful. You have all the money in the world, but you threw away your marriage. You were never there for mom and me. What exactly are you doing with your life? What about what's important? I'm at least experiencing life. I'm enjoying the now, living in the moment. All you care about is your goals, your destination, becoming great. Well, what kind of life has that left you?" So the question is, who's right? Who's right? And anyone who's emotionally aware should be torn. On the one hand, the father's right. You should have goals and destinations in life. On the other hand, the son's clearly right. You shouldn't be so stuck in your goals and destination that you forget about what's really important, that you stop living life, you stop experiencing life, that you throw away your relationships and everyone close to you. They represent two extremes. And the actual ideal is something in the middle. So let's talk about the concepts of chesed, din, and teferis. Concepts which most of Jewish wisdom is built on. The Maharal uses these terms, the Ramchal uses these terms, the Nefesh HaChaim uses these terms. What exactly is chesed, din, and teferis? What are these spiritual concepts? And also, why are the avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, why do those always represent the concepts of chesed, din, and teferis? What's the deeper ideas here? So, let's start with chesed. Chesed, din, and teferis are the three stages of a process. Chesed is stage one. Chesed represents outflow. It represents the starting point, the initial seed, the initial stage. It is the beginning of a process. Din represents the second stage, which is restriction, which is limitation, which is creating boundaries, which is taking that infinite potential of that first stage of that outflow and giving it boundaries in a container and restrictions so that it can exist. So if you think about it, din is exactitude. It's midah keneged midah, which means that you get exactly measure for measure what you deserve. Din is something limited. It's something which isn't boundless, but has boundaries. And some practical examples are rain. If you have infinite rain, chesed, just rain that has no boundaries, you'll have a mabul, you have a flood. When it comes to parenting, if all you do is give to your child and give and give and give and give, and you have no rules, no boundaries, no limitations, no order, no structure, your child's going to end up, very undeveloped. You need structure. A child needs a structured world to allow him to grow or her to grow properly. And when it comes to teaching, like on the one hand, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, says that more than the calf wants to drink, the cow wants to nurse. The teacher wants to give, wants to teach, wants to outflow all of the wisdom that they have. But if you teach too much, you'll drown your child. You'll drown your student. It's too much. But if you teach too little, it's not appropriate. The student needs more. The ideal is that balance. But it's important to recognize before we go to that third stage that din, the restriction, is also chesed. It's just less chesed. So when you limit the infinite amount of rain, that's still rain. It's just less rain. When you're teaching, just not more than the child can handle, it's still teaching. It's just less teaching. Din isn't something else. It's merely a focusing and a limitation of the infinite of stage one. And what's also really important to realize is that this is the concept of Iker and Tefel, of what's essential. Giving is Iker, and din is always that which enables, tefel, secondary, is that which enables the giving to be appropriate and to be well-received. So that first stage of outflow needs the second stage in order for that first stage to become real and to be ideal. And it's also really important to recognize that unbounded chesed, chesed that has no limitations can be extremely inappropriate. That's why the Torah refers to an incestuous relationship, a relationship which is arayis, which is inappropriate, as being chesed. Why chesed? Because chesed is when there are no limitations, no boundaries, no rules, no structure. You need structure. Unstructured chesed can be very unhealthy. And that's why din really is what enables chesed to thrive. But that third stage, tiferes, harmony, that's the perfect balance. Because that's the million-dollar question. How do you properly balance? For example, when it comes to teaching, you might want to teach too much, or you might want to teach too little. How do you get that perfect balance where you're teaching exactly that which is challenging to the student, but not too challenging and not too easy? When you're parenting, how do you know when to say yes and when to say no? How do you know when it's appropriate to give, when it's appropriate to say no? I can't give right now. You need to hear no. For you, not for me. I'm not saying no. When you're a parent, you don't say no because you're angry at the child. You say no because the child needs to hear no. Needs to understand. A great example is when it comes to kavod or yira. How do you know how much kavod and ava to have for your rabbi? How do you know how much yira to say, whoa, you know, like you're on a completely higher level and I'm going to respect you. You're not my friend. You're someone that's tremendous. When it comes to Hashem, how do you know how to have that balance of ava and yira? Where you're not just living a fear-oriented life, but you're not just living a love-oriented life where I'm going to be an Eved Hashem when it's good for me, when I'm in love with Hashem, but when I'm not feeling so good, I'm not going to do it. You have to have both, but how do you strike that balance? It's like when it comes to eating honey. It's hard to find that balance because you have some honey, you think it's great, but by the time you create that structure of, okay, it's enough honey, you're way past the boundaries and you've probably eaten too much honey. So it's really hard to find that perfect balance, but that's what Tiferes is. Tiferes is finding that perfect balance. And just to give you a couple demonstrations and illustrations of the concept of Tiferes, of that perfect harmony and balance, the first is beauty, Pe'er, beauty. Beauty is not a bunch of pieces that exist. It's when seemingly opposite pieces harmonize in such a way that beauty transcends the sum of the pieces and emanates from them. When you look at a horizon on the beach, it's not that the sun's beautiful or the ocean is beautiful or the sand is beautiful. It's when all the pieces harmonize in such a way that what emanates from them transcends the sum of the pieces. It's that perfect balance of all the pieces coming together. Also, Rofe, which is the same letters of Pe'er, beauty, Rofe, a doctor, creates inner harmony, homeostasis within the human body. That's also why when you think of also MS, truth. Truth is that ultimate harmony and oneness. It's not, there's no single piece of truth. Truth is the collective of all the pieces coming together. It's like if you think about it, I'll give you a demonstration. Let's say a boy comes to his father and says, I can't believe it. Shlaimi, the neighbor, he kicked me. So the father goes over to Shlaimi and says, how can you kick my son? So Shlaimi says, are you kidding me? Your son punched me in the face. So he goes over to his son, you didn't tell me you punched him in the face. So the son says, yeah, but he pushed me down the stairs. So then he goes back to Shlaimi and says, you pushed him down the stairs. He says, yeah, that's because he tripped me and called me names. Like, who's saying the emes? Who's lying? They're both saying the emes, but they're only saying parts of the emes. The emes is the absolute collective truth with all the sub pieces of truth coming together. And that's also the idea of shalom. Shalom isn't just the lack of conflict. Shalom is when conflicting ideas, conflicting parts come together in a harmony. That's why the root of shalom is shalem, completion, wholeness. That's why Pinchas got the bircha shalom, the bracha of shalom, not because one understanding is that he killed Zimri and Cosby, that's why he needed a bracha shalom. The other idea is he created harmony. Klal Yisrael was in a chaotic state. He created harmony. He got the bracha of shalom. And marriage is also that concept of oneness, two people coming together to create a oneness. A child is the result of oneness. When male and female come together to create a oneness, a child is that which manifests. And that's also why Tiferes in Jewish thought is called rachamim, mercy. It's not too much chesed, not too much din, it's rachamim, it's that balance. That's why the place where a child is born, the creation of oneness, is the rachem, the womb, the place of oneness. Now, chesed and din, back to our original concept, represent the concept of Iker and Tafel. So one of the greatest paradigms of Iker and Tafel is Aseh and Los Aseh. Aseh, the mitzvahs to do the positive commandments, Those are the ikkar. Those are building your connection with Hashem, building your love for Hashem, building the relationship. Los ases are that which create boundaries. They create the structure. They create the limitation of that which will potentially break and destroy your relationship and connection with Hashem. Now, I'll give you a mashal. When you have a factory, the purpose of the factory is to build. That's the factory. When you have a fence around the factory, that's just that which is tefel. That's just to enable the factory to thrive and to prevent unwanted people from coming in. When you have a marriage, the real ikkar of the marriage is building the relationship. The fact that you're not supposed to betray one another is not building the relationship. It just prevents the relationship from breaking down. The purpose of life is to build. It's to become. It's to grow. The tefel, that which enables that, is also don't break things down, don't destroy, don't be corruptive. And just one great illustration of this example is asay dochelos asay, one of the most fascinating concepts. In halacha, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah which was the result of an avera. There's something called mitzvah habab avera. So for example, you can't steal a lulav and then shake lulav with that. That's a mitzvah habab avera. There's one exception, which is when the mitzvah and the avera come be'idna at the same time. So for example, you're allowed to wear tzitzis with shatnez on it. And you're allowed to do, there's an iser to cut off tzaras from any part of the body, but when it's on the bris milah, you're allowed to cut it off of the organ, because you're doing the mitzvah bris milah while you cut off the tzaras. And the question is why? What's the idea of ase docha los ase? So the first option is a knockout. The ase knocks out the los ase. The assay is so important, it knocks out the los assay. The second option is that it's a net gain. Let's say the assay is 10 positive points and the los assay is 5 negative points. We'd rather get the net gain of 5 points so you can do it. And the third option is that we can define the act in one way. So we can define it as a positive act. But the fourth option, the most fundamental option, is that we can redefine the los assay as being positive. Because the whole purpose of the los assay is to create the structure of allowing you to build a relationship with Hashem. But when the only reason you're doing this los ase, the only reason is that it itself is allowing you, enabling you, and itself is an ase bringing you closer to Hashem, then we can redefine it, almost like an avera lishma, or as something which is a yuidilus or a chali, or something which is actually inherently good, because creating that connection with Hashem. Now we're not going to get more into the lamdas, because this is very connected to the sugi of kimle midraba binei, where we have that same different options, or Hamapelis Laor Shema Ve'echad, similar topic. But the idea is that the ikkar, what's really important in life, is always what should be at the forefront of your consciousness. And this is the idea of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Chesed, Din, and Teferis. Avram always represents the beginning of a process. He is, you know, al-hachnachsa orchem, proactively opening up his house on all four sides. The root and beginning of Klai Yisrael, endless expansion, everyone from Klai Yisrael emanates and comes from Avram Avinu. The beginning is always represented by Avram. The first bracha in Shmoneh Esrei is from Avram. Shachris, the first tefillah in the morning, that's Avram. Yitzchak always represents restriction and self-control. That's why Yitzchak repeated everything Avram did. He redug the wells. He re-went down to Mitzrayim. He repeated going with Avimelech. He even looked the same as Avraham. The Gemara says that the first person who aged was Avraham because Yitzchak looked exactly like him. And Avraham wanted to give Yitzchak an independent identity. So he allowed Yitzchak to have his own sense of self. So Avraham aged and started to look different than him. The Akedas Yitzchak is the binding of Yitzchak, restriction, holding yourself back, self-control. That's why Gevura Gibor, Ezehu Gibor, what's Gevura? Gevura is also connected to Din. He's a Gibor Mishakovish as Yitzhara. Someone who controls his Yitzhara. Strength is not just physical might, it's self-control, restriction, holding yourself back. That's Din. That's why the Chazal also say that someone who is able to have self-control and control himself is even stronger than someone who can surround and control a city. Question is, why doesn't it say he's stronger than someone who can conquer a city? Because Gibor is not about conquering, it's about control. It's saying that it's even greater to be able to control what's the inner battle inside of yourself than to be able to control and surround an outer battle outside yourself. And Yaakov represents the Teferis. Yaakov is Emes, teaching Emes to Yaakov. Yaakov is Torah. Yaakov is the idea of oneness, of perfect balance. He had the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are all the individual pieces coming together and melting into that oneness, that perfect balance and harmony. And the real idea here is that we have to recognize the importance of Ikkar and Tefel. We have to understand what's important in life, but we also have to be able to harmonize all the different components of our life into a oneness. The intellectual, the emotional, the physical, all the aspects of ourself. We have to recognize that oneness and that harmony. And we have to also recognize what's really important to us, how we spend our time, what we talk about, what we desire, as a mirror into who we are. And when we can recognize what's important to us and we can build on that and develop what's ikar, then we can really build a life of oneness, a life of harmony, bringing together chasadin and tiferes.